I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, we got a tailgate. Is the complexion of college sports about to change literally within hours? Drew will try to make sense of that coming up as well. Georgia, massive series in baseball over the weekend. And, of course, the national title. We'll talk about Duke a little bit later. How did they blow this thing? Is there any chance they keep this team together in some combination? And the article in the Wall Street Journal about dark money and Duke basketball that appeared Friday morning. They're not having a good run. They're not happy.
No.
They're not happy with the White Lotus. We'll talk about that and things I learned. They're not happy with the article in the Wall Street Journal. So if you're a hater on Duke, you've had some fun over the last few
You know,
days.
I almost went to Duke?
To be a punter?
Yeah.
Who recruited you?
His name was Glenn Spencer, but Ted Roof was the head coach back then. Ted Roof.
Former
Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket. Yes. And a great, great person. I'm still in contact with Coach Roof. He is just an awesome guy. I was going to Duke, man. I loved it. Took my official visit, was fired up, was drinking the Kool-Aid, and then...
Georgia hadn't offered, obviously.
No, not yet.
Did Dad... What was Dad's advice?
Dad's advice was Duke is a $250,000 scholarship.
Yeah.
And Georgia is just not coming to the table, so you should take the Duke scholarship.
At what point did Georgia come to the table? What had to happen?
Eric Berry went to Tennessee. My high school classmate Cam Hayward went to Ohio State. Cam Newton went to Florida.
But they're all playing different positions.
Yeah, but it's the number. You have a scholarship number. So, and Georgia historically had not recruited or offered kickers and punters, and times had just started to change
so
back then.
So Mark Richt was not offering kickers and punters back then?
No.
So
got kind of left holding the bag.
Till when? When did you?
About a week before signing day, they offered me a scholarship.
What was that like?
I mean, I almost ran down 316 barefooted to sign papers. Yeah. I was ready to go. Coach Dave Johnson was the tight ends coach. He was also the special teams coach. He called me and said, we got some good news.
What did you love most about the Duke visit?
I mean, it is just obviously an incredible institution. Yeah, the prestige is unbelievable. Yeah. Went to a Duke Maryland basketball game, a women's basketball game. So I was inside Cameron Indoor Stadium. It was 1-2. So that was really cool.
Right.
You know, the campus is obviously gorgeous. It's a 5-hour drive straight up 85. I thought that was pretty doable as well.
All right. Well, things work out for a reason, though.
They absolutely do.
Mr. NFL, Mr. All-American, the whole deal. Doing mornings here. We'll get to the tailgate. Are you, you're a big podcast guy. You're a big social media guy. You're pretty worldly for a young man in terms of the stuff you read and follow. Do you follow this CEO morning routine stuff that you get bombarded with?
Yes.
So what would you say is the given on the CEO/way to start your day stuff? Give me a call. We'll trade back and forth. Give me an example of one of them.
Don't hit snooze. Like, I think that's pretty good one. Don't hit snooze. Get up out of bed.
The cold plunge, CEO of cold plunge in the morning.
Look, I love a cold plunge. Unfortunately, at my house, I don't have one readily available. I mentioned I was in California this past week. My buddy does have a cold plunge, so
you
I got
it every
that.
Morning.
Got in there. Yeah, it's awesome. Three minutes, 6 minutes, whatever you need.
What would you say when you hear the whole morning routine is the average wake up, they would say, for this, you know, highly ultra.
You mean timing wise?
Yes, what time? What do you say if you had to give an average aggregate time?
Of a CEO or what people
you
should do?
You know the shtick.
Yeah,
the
I know
shtick.
You do. 5:30 a.m.
I'd say even earlier.
Okay.
4:48, I'm up.
I mean, that's crazy. Dude, that's crazy to me.
Have you seen the Mark Wahlberg routine?
Yes.
Do you guys know the Mark Wahlberg routine? Wahlberg wakes up at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I think he prays and meditates for 20 minutes or half an hour. He plays 18 or 36 holes by 6 a.m.
Yeah, he plays a round of golf by himself like in an hour and a half.
Yeah. He is running to the holes, I think.
Or yeah, on his golf cart.
Then he's in his gym, in his home gym by 6:30. hour and a half workout. So he's prayed. He's played 18 holes of golf. He does his cold plunge. And then whatever it is, it's 7:52, he gets the kids up, and he's already basically done what most of us would do in a week.
But you could also listen to, like, Andrew Huberman, Tim Ferriss, Dr. Peter Attia. They say you need sleep.
Right.
Like, yes, of course, it's good to get a morning routine
okay,
in.
Okay, but Wahlberg is if you're asleep at 9:30 and you wake up at 4:30, you get 7 hours. Not horrible. I know, listen.
Most of us have kids. Most of us have other responsibilities.
I get it. You got a journal. You got a journal. Okay. You got to take a cold punch. Okay. You got to do a sauna. Okay. You got to get your workout. Okay. You got to meditate. Okay. You got to check all these things. And then you're going to be the CEO of said corporation. It's all just fine. It gets the guilt level when you scroll. What do they call the death scroll?
Yeah, the death scroll. The doom scroll.
Is that why he's successful? And I'm sitting here in my pajamas eating Cap'n Crunch, and it's 9:47 a.m.
Look at Warren Buffett. What does he have every day? McDonald's and Dairy Queen, right?
Is that really his diet?
Yeah, you've never seen the videos of Warren Buffett in Omaha goes to McDonald's every single morning. If the market's up that morning, he splurges for an egg McMuffin with sausage, and if it's down, he just gets the sausage.
Seriously.
He's got the exact change in his car.
He's in the same cup holder. He's in the same house.
Of course.
That he
in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Yeah.
60 years old or something like that, the house, yeah. Right? All right, let's do this.
It's time to tailgate.
Tailgate, have a good time.
Taking a look around the world of college sports.
This is the tailgate on the Steakhouse.
Brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Big enough to serve, small enough to care. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Surely you enjoyed the Final Four over the weekend. The national championship game is set for tonight. Florida taking on Houston in San Antonio. Florida, of course, outlasted Auburn in the early game on Saturday, and as we have discussed in depth, Houston comes roaring back. They were down 9 with just over 2 minutes to go to upset Duke. So the national championship game will tip off tonight, Steak. Should be a really good game. I just think Florida's got too much depth, too much talent. Houston and Kelvin Sampson and this Cougar team, look, it's been a good storyline, but I'm afraid it ends tonight.
You held Duke to 67 points. That's spectacular, but that's what Houston does. They're lockdown defenders. They're tough. They have more offense than they've had in the past. That's why they're in the national title game. But Florida comes at you in waves, and I've watched them 3 games in a row with a second-half surge. And when they get on those surges, there's not a lot you can do. I don't see any reason they won't have a couple of those moments again. I like the Florida Gators to get another national title, and I believe would he be the youngest coach to win a national title? Todd Golden? So youngest all time. If Kelvin Sampson wins, he'll be the oldest all time. As Houston, a great history of basketball, try to get their first ever national title.
Tip off tonight, 8:50 p.m. Eastern time over on CBS. Hey, there is some important things happening today in the world of college sports. Judge Wilken has a hearing on the final approval of the House versus NCAA settlement today. What is the House versus NCAA settlement? It's something that you've probably heard. You might be on the outside looking in. You might be a casual sports fan. You've heard about this. House versus NCAA. House versus NCAA. What is it? It is the official ruling that will decide if schools are allowed to legally and directly pay student athletes. So the reason why there's been this big push, Steak, is because coaches, administrators, institutions want some sort of regulatory oversight on what is happening in the world of college sports, NIL, pay to play, dark money, this and that. Whenever the House versus NCAA settlement is finalized, schools will have the ability to pay $20.5 million directly to their student-athletes, all student-athletes.
But how does it change what's going on now? It'll be capped? Will there finally be a number you cannot go over for the entire program?
The entire athletic program, right, will be capped per institution at $20.5 million per year. Now, is there an opportunity for collectives or a dark money fund to continue raising outside money? Yes, of course. And why is that? Because the schools themselves are not paying those dollars to the student athletes. $20.5 million is the starting point for the cap, all right? In the NFL, quarterbacks usually demand around 20% of the salary cap of a team. Now, that's just a football team.
Yeah.
20% of $20.5 million is $4.1 million. Do you think any institution will directly pay one student athlete, that of course being the quarterback of their football team, 20% of their salary cap?
If it was Cooper Flagg coming back to Duke and it's $20 million, yeah, I think they would, depending how big a star it is, depending how much it does for the program, depending what position that player puts you in. But listen, it is the most out-of-control system.
There's
no cap. There's no limits. There's nothing about the current rules that has any governance on them whatsoever. The ACC is hoping that if you put that number, because the SEC is simply outspending everybody else. It's one of the reasons why ACC basketball is feeling it, because the SEC is like, we're going to spend everywhere. I heard that Georgia basketball outspent Auburn this year, by the way. Yeah. Total income.
Wow.
And that speaks to what a disappointment in my eyes Georgia
was. Of course. And Auburn's starting five average age was older than the Atlanta Hawks' starting five average age.
And they were not getting paid at the same level because some of those guys were not the blue chippers. But anyway, a lot going on around that sport. It's not going to change until you start setting some limits. That's why it's going to be the big boys. It's going to be the SEC. Yeah. They have the most
money. That's right.
And listen, Silas Demery from Georgia is supposedly getting paid $2 million to go to Connecticut. Close to $2 million to go play for Danny Hurley at Connecticut.
Unbelievable. Yeah, don't expect a decision on this House versus NCAA settlement today, but one of the final hearings, Judge Wilkin will have that today, so we'll be following that. Check it out on social media. I am at Drew Butler. Another piece of news, because Georgia's G-Day spring game is coming up this Saturday. Looks like the weather's going to be perfect. If you're making your way out to Athens over the weekend, the Dogs lost a four-star commit to Miami. Cornerback Jontavious Wyman, he flips. He commits to the U. Georgia currently only has five commits in their 2026 cycle stake. That puts them at 26th in the national
rankings.
Doesn't
mean anything. I
totally agree with you.
Right?
Does not mean anything. Whatsoever.
Yeah, Russ, you'll have more on that coming up. Obviously, Georgia baseball takes it on the chin in Austin.
They lose, get swept by the Texas Longhorns after a blitz of a start to the season for Georgia baseball. So the number three Dogs, they get swept by number five Texas over the weekend.